Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30 and California's is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our summer sermon series, Dream Big, Finish Strong, that is looking at the book of Revelation. Last week we saw the first of the big sevens, the seven seals. This Sunday we see the seven trumpets. The first six of each bring with them death, destruction, and misery. We'll see the same with the seven bowls of wrath. But between the sixth and seventh of each, there is a pause, an eye in the storm where God reminds us to think of heaven and know that He is still on the throne and in control. We're also reminded throughout Revelation there will be a day when our lives will be judged to see if they are worthy to spend eternity in heaven. Revelation 11:18 says, "The time has come for judging the dead and for rewarding your servants, the prophets, and your people who revere your name, both great and small." The question is, are you ready for that day of judgment? Last week we saw the ones that were ready for God's judgment were the ones who had washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Have you come to the cross of Jesus and confessed Him as Lord and been buried with Him in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit? That is how you're ready to stand before God with confidence and joy. May you feel God's mercy and power this week as you go through the trials of life. Thank you for listening. So let's stand this morning as we have our call to worship and ask God to be part of our worship service together with us. Be in awe of God, and you will find wisdom, knowledge, and insight.
Together to worship God, who made the entire universe.
Turn to Jesus, who gives us guidance, hope, and assurance.
Follow God, who knows our deepest thoughts and dreams.
Seek God's ways for your life and not the ways of the world.
For God's ways are justice, mercy, and love.
Come, let us worship God who leads us into life.
We were delighted to have special music from the California Community Band, and they play their version of Nearer My God to Thee. Our scripture lessons are read by Beth Depp, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon based on Revelation 6 and 7, Dream Big, Finish Strong, Signed, Sealed, and Delivered.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Your word, O God, reveals your will for our lives. By the power of your Holy Spirit, give us each the wisdom to attend to your every day, and make us ready to hear and obey. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture lesson today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 26 through 31. So if anyone tells you, there he is out in the wilderness, do not go out. Or, here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Here ends the first lesson. The second lesson comes from the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 26 through 35. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People went eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But that day Lot left Sodom. Fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the housetop with possessions inside should go down and get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. I tell you, on that night, two people will be in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. Two men will be grinding grain together. One will be taken and the other left. Here ends the second reading.
Thank you, Beth. Man, it's great to have the band back with us. When I started here the first year of 2019, I came in late 2018, but we had the band here in July of 2019. Great crowd, great group, and then we know what's happened the last couple years, so it's just another sign that we're getting back, and we're able to worship that way together. I'm partial to trumpets, because trumpets are a biblical instrument, and so, just kidding, Norman got that. All right, we talked about the trumpet call of the Lord, and we'll talk about the seven trumpets and next week when we get into that part of Revelation, but glad to have the band here with us this morning. But hey, if you want to turn to Revelation chapter 6 and 7, man, we've covered the easy part. Chapters 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, man, just great parts of Revelation, pretty straightforward. We saw in chapter 1 just kind of the message of Revelation, that we are victorious, God's in control. Jesus is going to win, and because of Jesus winning, we win as well. Then we saw the issues with the churches, the seven churches. Again, seven's a number of completion and perfection. And so we kind of can see every church within those seven. God saw some issues with them, and just because you're a big church doesn't mean you're the one that's doing what God wants you to do. We saw the two churches that were being blessed and had no complaints about them. They were the ones that were kind of the smallest and probably the weakest one, but they were standing up the strongest and following God's word the best. And then last week, we got a glimpse of heaven, chapters 4 and 5. We got the close-up view of God on the throne, the four creatures, the 24 elders, and then we see all the angels all around him. We get that glimpse of heaven. And so no matter how bad things are going to be, no matter what's going to be facing ourselves, we can always look up and know that what we've got heaven waiting for us. And if you're coming to the book of Revelation to try to figure out as a spiritual roadmap, trying to figure out exactly all the clues that are in there that help us figure out exactly what day of the Lord that it's going to be, that's why we read Luke 17 and Matthew 24. I encourage you to read both of those chapters in full. Jesus says, no one knows the day or the hour. He says, just like it was in the days of Noah. They had kind of gone along, they had been warned, they had kind of gotten, you know, kind of blown the warning off and just said, hey, we're doing whatever we want to. And when it came upon them, it's too late for them to change and decide because they had missed their chance. And so if you're coming to the book of Revelation trying to figure out every little symbol, every little sign is going to point you to the exact time and frame, you're going to be disappointed because that's not what Revelation's all about. What Revelation is going to tell us in chapter 6 and 7, we're going to see the first of the great sevens. There's three sevens. We got the seven seals we talked about. We ended with that last week, that Jesus was holding the scroll, the plan of the future, all of time in his hand, and that he was the only one that could open the seven seals. We're going to read about the first six seals here in just a few moments when we read chapter 6. And then when we get the seventh seal, we won't see that one until next week. We go right into the seven trumpets. And then we go right into the seven bowls of wrath. And what Revelation is telling us as we read through all these, that they are telling the same story over and over again. When we approach Revelation, just like a Westerner, we think that when we start with chapter 1 through 22, that we're going in chronological order. Revelation wasn't written that way, and that was not the way people read or understood things back then. They would bring up a theme. They would get to that theme, and then they would circle back to the beginning, and they would bring up that theme again. And that's what we're going to see here when we go through the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls of wrath. And what we're going to see is that what he is telling us is that in our future, in our lifetimes, and the generations that were before us, and the generations that are after us, there's going to be difficult times. And he's going to tell us as we read through chapter 6 here, and then he's going to ask us a question at the end of chapter 6. Who can stand in that day? When Jesus opens up that seventh seal and the world comes to an end just like it did in the days of Noah, who is the one that can stand up on the day of the Lord's wrath? That's when we get chapter 7. So let's look here in chapter 6. We're going to read through it, and I think you'll see some things as we go. We'll point out a few things. In the first verse there, chapter 6, he says, I watched as the Lamb opened the first of the seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in the voice like thunder, come. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Man, we've got people all over the world in past times and currently trying to conquer the world. Then we come to verse 3. When the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make people kill each other. To him was given a large sword. Man, we read about death and murder not too far away from us, do we? That happens locally, happens nationally. Then verse 5, when the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures, 2 pounds of wheat for a day's wages and 6 pounds of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and wine. Basically say there's going to be a day when there's famine and destruction of the crops around us, and that's happened. Verse 7, when the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death and Hades and was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beast of the earth. I looked up from the time that Jesus ascended in heaven for the last 2,000 years. You can't count all the hundreds of wars that have been fought all over this earth. The millions of people that have died in wars from the beginning, from when Jesus ascended until the time that he returns. He says there's going to be death and destruction. It's going to be part of our regular lives. But then catch verse 9, the fifth seal. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony that they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? People were dying for their faith. They were being martyred for their faith in Jesus. And they were asking the question, how long will it be till things are made right? Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer till the full number of their fellow servants, their brothers and sisters, were killed just as they had been. I mean, until the day that Jesus returned, people are going to continue to die for their faith. And then he says, I watched them as they opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to earth. The figs dropped from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll being rolled up. And every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it? We get the first six seals. You're going to see the first six trumpets. You're going to see the first six bowls of wrath have the same type of increasing intensity of bad things are going to happen. How many times do you think through the centuries, people that read Revelation looked at their current time and they thought this was it? Don't you think during the Civil War, people thought, man, it was on their doorstep. People were dying in the United States. They were killing one another. Hundreds of thousands of people died because of the war. Don't you think they thought, man, the end of times has to be close at hand? How many people do you think thought in during World War II, started in the 30s in Germany, Japan, Russia, Italy, all those countries, all the death and destruction, the millions of people died. Don't you think people thought, man, the end of times is near? When you read through the first six seals, you see that same kind of theme all through the centuries and all through the generations. What Revelation is telling us that our lives are going to be overcome with all kinds of obstacles in our faith. There's going to be death, there's going to be murder, there's all going to be kinds of evil things happening from now until the time that Jesus returns. And the question is, who can withstand it? Who can withstand it when Jesus is going to return? Who's going to stand victorious? Then Jesus gives us chapter 7. See, what you're going to see with the six seals, the six trumpets, and the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls of wrath, that between the sixth and seventh one on all three of them, God takes a pause. He takes a break. He gives a message to his people to say, hey, it looks overwhelming and it looks discouraging, it looks depressing. And the question is, who is in control? Then he gives us chapter 7. Look what chapter 7 says. He then takes our vision then off of all the death and destruction, and he tells us to look up. He said, after this, I saw the four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth to prevent any wind from blowing on the land or the sea or on any tree. Then I saw another angel from the east, having the seal of the living God. He called out in a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the land and the sea. Do not harm the land or the sea or the trees until we put the seal on the foreheads of the servants of our God. Then I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 from the tribes of Israel. And you're going to see in verse 9 as well, we're getting a complete picture of what heaven's going to look like. It's going to have faithful saints from the past. It's a perfect number. It's going to be ones that God knows. He lists the 12 tribes of Israel there. He skips out on a couple. He replaces them with Judah and Joseph. But just to let us know, God knows perfectly every one of us that's going to be residing in the place of his abode. But then how do we stand in times like that? He tells us, number one, that we can stand in time like that because we have the promises of God written on our hearts and mind. We've been signed. He tells us in Jeremiah 31 that I will put my law on their minds and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. See, we remember his promises, we remember his words, we remember the words of Revelation because they're impressed upon our hearts and our minds. They were written down for us to be as a reminder. John wrote in his gospel, the reason that he wrote the gospel, so these were written for us so that we will believe. The way that we can stand on that day, the way that we can get through those six seals, all the death and destruction, all the discouragement that comes with our life, is that his words are written on our hearts and on our minds. In Deuteronomy 6, he said this. He says, you are to impress these upon your children. You're supposed to write them, put them on your foreheads, and write them on your doorposts for everyone to see. He tells us that his promises are written on our hearts and our minds, that we can know them and that we can bring them up in the times that we are struggling with discouragement and depression. But then he also tells us that we have been sealed, that we are protected, that we are shown to be his ownership. My grandpa Cobb liked to put his name on everything of his. He left me a bunch of his stuff after he passed away. And those labels that you get in the mail from all the charities that want you to support them, I love those things because that's what I use for my envelopes. I may not support them, but I love getting all those little address labels of mine. My grandpa used those to put on everything. Shoeboxes full of stuff. I'll open up the shoebox. He's written his name and his date and the time of that. I don't know why that was important, but he wanted to make sure that his name was on his stuff because it showed ownership. My wife is a public notary. So when you come to her, if you have something that needs to be signed, she witnesses your signature, and then she puts her stamp on it to say that it's true and that it's real. How can we stand in the presence of God when Jesus returns and takes his people to be with him? Because we have his seal of approval on us. He tells us what that seal is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He says, he anointed us with his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That when we come to him and we put our faith in him, we put our trust in him, when we're buried in the watery grave of baptism, he puts his spirit inside of us as a seal to let us know permanently that we are his possession, that we are under his ownership. And that seal is to be obvious. He tells us that our lives are to be lights in the darkness. He tells us that we are to have the fruit of the Spirit, that it should be obvious to the people that are around us who we belong to. I don't know about you, but I still struggle from time to time if I get a little pimple on my cheek or on my forehead. Man, I try to cover that thing up because it's so noticeable. Man, you just hate that because you're worried that everybody's looking at that. He's telling us that the seal that we have should be noticeable to those that are around us. He told the Ephesian people, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. How do we stand on that day? When Jesus returns and that seventh seal, that seventh trumpet, that seventh bowl of wrath comes, we can stand there because we have been signed with his promises and we've been sealed with his Holy Spirit. But then look at the verses of chapter 9 through 17. This is where it gets really good. He says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. See, that was in chapter 5. See that recurring theme. He wants us to be reminded when things are tough, he brings our eyes back up to the glory of heaven. And then he says, then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, they are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That when you come to the cross of Jesus, no matter what's happened in your past, no matter what struggles you have, no matter what things you've done that you want to keep hidden from everybody else, when you come to the foot of the cross and you put your forgiveness and you put your faith in him, he wipes those sins clean and he makes you white as snow. And then verses 15 to 17. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Now, verse 16 is so appropriate for what we've been going through for the last 3 or 4 weeks, for really the last 2 months. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. I don't know about you, but I don't go outside until after 8 o'clock at night or before 7 o'clock in the morning. Man, the heat has just worn me down. It just wears me out. I just hate it. I don't want to go anywhere else except sit inside until the sun has gone down. He tells us that all the six seals, all the bad things that are going to happen in our lives, all the things that we're going to overcome. Then he gives us chapter 7. And then verse 17, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The question that we ask when we read Revelation, the question that we ask when we go through those difficult times, when we watch the news, I don't know about you, but when I watch the news, my blood pressure goes up about 40 or 50 points, it seems like. The question we ask is, who is in control? As you read Revelation, he's going to keep constantly telling us about the tough things that happen in our lives, but then he's going to bring us right back to the vision and the glory of heaven, because we've been delivered. He reminds us of the shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd in Psalm 23. He tells us where our deliverer comes from and that the Lord is our deliverer. And he gives us the seven promises there in verses 16 and 17. He doesn't say if we have tears or if there's going to be death. He knows those are things that each one of us is going to face in our lives. But then he brings us chapter 7 of Revelation, that in the midst of all those things, that we can look up and see his glory and we can see his power and see his promises. Jesus always talks about contrasts, that there's light and darkness, there's a narrow path and a wide path. I give you a bonus passage of scripture this morning, 2 Peter chapter 3, because I think it applies to every generation. He says, above all, you must understand that in last days scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has been from the beginning. But they are deliberately forgetting that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth were reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That's the question we ask this morning. What kind of life, what kind of people ought we to be? Are we the people that have the sealed ownership of God on our foreheads, the ones that have had their sins washed away and their robes made white? Have we made that decision where we can stand in the presence of God when that seventh seal, that seventh trumpet, and that seventh bowl of wrath is open? If you have that on your heart this morning, some area that you just need to be discussed with someone, just to sit down and pray with someone, just to encourage you and help you look up. That's why we come here this morning, is one, to worship together and to give God our presence and invite his presence into our lives. The song that we picked this morning is How Great Thou Art. And that's the reminder of Revelation, to remind us how great that God is. I know that Revelation, people have different images of Revelation, and I love visiting about Revelation. People talk about all the symbols, and we'll talk more about that when we get into chapters 8, 9, 10, and 11 next week. We'll mostly focus on chapter 11. But as you read Revelation, the encouragement is that God's in control, that he has a place waiting for us, that where all the troubles of this life are gone, and we get to experience his presence forever.